So would you say that the centurion was a good man? I think so. I think he was a very good man. And there's especially three ways that we can tell that he was a good man in this story. The first is, maybe the most important is, that he had love for his servant. As an important man, the centurion could have said, well, he's just a servant, too bad about him, and gone on about his duties. But no, he came out of his home and went looking for Jesus, and when he found him, he fell at his feet and begged him, please, please, will you come help my servant who is frightfully tormented? And he's paralyzed. So he cared about his servant. He loved his neighbor as himself. That's the first thing we can see about him. And the second thing we can see is that he was a humble man, because Jesus said to him, yes, I will come and cure him. But what did the centurion say? He said, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. I don't deserve to have you come into my house. You are the Lord of the universe, and I am just a lowly man. Now, he could have said, I am a great strong soldier. See my armor and my sword, and I have 100 soldiers under me who have to do exactly what I say or else. I am an important person. I deserve to have Jesus' help. But no, he didn't say that at all. He just said, I don't deserve to have you come to my house. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And that's the third wonderful thing about him. The soldier had charity and humility. And the third thing he had was a wonderful, strong faith, trust, confidence in the Lord that he could help his servant. He just said, say the word and my servant will be healed. I know that you can do this because I am a soldier under authority. There are senior soldiers, generals, and commanders over me who tell me what to do, and I do it. And I have soldiers under me that I'm in charge of. And I say to my one soldier, go, and he goes. And another soldier, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. So I know that if you just say the word, you command that disease, and it will go. And sure enough, that's what happened too. Jesus said, according to your faith, how much you trust me, so let it be done to you. And his servant was healed in that same hour. So we can see that the centurion was a very good man. It's the kind of person we hope to be. We hope to be someone who has love for our neighbor, who doesn't think of ourselves as being better than other people. I'm more important than you, I'm smarter, I'm stronger, I'm older, I'm faster, I'm whatever than you, so I don't have to care about you. No. We care for our servants, we care for all other human beings who are our brothers and sisters. We don't think of ourselves as better than them. We have love for our neighbors as ourselves, and we are humble people who know that we have no wisdom or smartness or greatness or strength from ourselves. Everything is from the Lord. We are all his children, and the Lord is high, high above us. And when we have those two qualities of love for our neighbor and humility, we will have strong faith in the Lord. Now, when Jesus heard what the centurion said, he marveled. It was wonderful. And he said, you know, I've looked all through Israel, and I haven't found anyone who has a faith as strong as he does. Nobody believes in me as much as the centurion. And people will come from the east and from the west, from far away, from all over the world. The centurion came from the west. They'll come from all over the world, and they will come and recline in the kingdom of the heavens. Recline means they'll sit down at supper there. They'll all be part of the Lord's family in his house. But a lot of the sons of the kingdom, that means the people who have the word, who should know better, they will be cast out. Why will they be cast out? Because even though they have the word and they read it, they're not listening to it. They're not doing what the word tells us to do. That's why they will be cast out. So the Lord was so pleased with the centurion. And we can be like the centurion too. See, we are people who are of the church. We do have the word. In fact, we not only have the Old Testament, like the Jews at the time of the Lord, we have the New Testament, and we have the heavenly doctrine. So we could be careful about this, because we could say to ourselves, well, I'm so much smarter than anybody else. Hardly anybody else knows the things I know. I'm better than they are. But that's not what we want to do. We want to be like the centurion, who was a Gentile, who didn't think he knew anything, but he knew enough to know that he should love his neighbor as himself. We should know that. We should know that the Lord puts us in this world to take care of each other. First of all, to do no harm to other people. And secondly, to take care of them and help them. Listen what it says in a little bit more of this passage from the Heavenly Doctrine about Gentiles compared to people of the church in the other life. The mercy of the Lord is infinite and does not suffer itself to be limited to those few who are within the church, but extends itself to all in the whole world. Their being born outside of the church and being thus in ignorance of faith is not their fault. And no one is ever condemned for not having faith in the Lord when he is ignorant of him. Who that thinks rightly will ever say that the greatest part of the human race must perish in eternal death because they were not born in Europe, where there are comparatively few? And who that thinks rightly will say that the Lord suffered so great a multitude to be born just to perish in eternal death? That would be contrary to the divine and contrary to mercy. And besides, those who are out of the church and are called Gentiles live a much more moral life than those who are within the church and embrace much more easily the doctrine of true faith, as is still more evident from souls in the other life. The worst of all come from the so-called Christian world, holding the neighbor in deadly hatred and even the Lord. Above all others in the whole world, they are adulterers. It is not so with those from other parts of the world. Very many of those who have worshipped idols are of such a disposition as to abhor hatred and adultery and to fear Christians because of their being of this character and desirous of tormenting everyone. The Lord himself said this in Luke, and one said to him, Lord, are they few who are saved? And he said to them, you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves cast forth outside. And they shall come from the east and the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last who shall be first, and there are first who shall be last. By Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are here meant all who have love to the Lord. So we would like to be like the centurion. We would like to be people who are careful to love our neighbor as ourselves, who do not hold them in hatred, who do not treat them immorally, above all, who do not commit adultery against our neighbors, because the word tells us to. We have the word, and that's what it teaches us. We want to be humble like the centurion. We don't want to think that, hey, we know a lot, because what we know compared to what there is to know, even in the word, is a tiny drop compared to a vast ocean of things we don't have any idea about. And all that we know only from the Lord, not from ourselves. So we want to be humble like the centurion, because that's what the word teaches us. And finally, we want to have complete faith in the Lord, that he can do all things that are good just by saying so, because that's what the word teaches us. And then, when we have this kind of a life, That's using the Lord's word the way he meant it to be used. It's why he gave it to us. And then we can be some of those people who come from the east and from the west and recline in his kingdom. Amen.